How is Oklahoma's recruiting looking in the 2024 cycle? We'll talk with Locked On's newest recruiting expert on today's episode of Locked On Sooners.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Sooner Nation? Welcome to Locked On Sooners, and thank you for making Locked On Sooners your first listen every single day. Shout out to all the everydayers out there, every member of that everyday club, for being locked in with Locked On Sooners. My name is John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. My buddy here is Josh Helmer. You can follow him on Twitter at JoshOnRef. And today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. And when you enter promo code LOCKEDONCOLLEGE, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. Again, that's birddogs.com/lockedoncollege, promo code Locked On College. And Josh, joining us tonight, the newest member of the Locked On family, our friend Brian Smith. You can follow him on Twitter at FBS. I had it just a second ago. FBS Scout _ Florida. Brian, a recruiting analyst covering the Southeast in particular, but all over the country. How you doing, my friend?
Doing well, sir. How about yourself?
We're doing fantastic. And being that you're new with us, we just want to get your thoughts, just kind of your opinion, watching Oklahoma recruiting over the last few years, and really this staff, being that you've been down in the Southeast, you've become very familiar with what Clemson has done, Brent Venables, Todd Bates, their staff that they've brought over to Oklahoma, just off the jump. Just give us your thoughts on where Oklahoma is right now and just their kind of philosophy and what you see out of this coaching staff on the recruiting trail.
They're not going to do it a whole heck of a lot different than what Dabo did at Clemson. The old saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it, applies here. They will find guys that they like, and they will not care one iota how much your customer base complains about a three-star kid coming there, if that's who they like, or anything else. They're going to find fits for their scheme. And if there's a better, especially on defense up front, for guys that they found some three-star kids at Clemson that from like, who's that guy? And then they end up starting as a sophomore, being all ACC. That's Venables. That's Todd Bates. That's what those guys do. They find fits for their scheme. And they will also find guys that move around a lot. So it's kind of interesting just talking about, I love the versatile teams. And of course, Venables runs one of the best blitz packages in college football history. Finding guys that come from different places game to game, he's a pain in the butt to prepare for if you're an offensive coach, and it's because of how well he scouts. He did it in Florida. He's done it. They did most of their work in Georgia, which defensively that state's incredible. I expect Oklahoma to get some Georgia kids, and for them to be where Clemson was, they're going to need some of those defensive linemen anyway, because that's where it starts. His defense starts there. You're going to see a lot of it where they rotate guys in and out and they play three-man, they play four-man, they do different things. You're going to see all kinds of stuff. In about year three, year four, what Oklahoma looks like now won't even be in the same stratosphere. Oklahoma fans are going to like this.
Brian, first off, man, from me, congratulations. We're pumped to have you as part of the network, as our recruiting insider. What do you hear? What is just sort of the general buzz about a Brent Venables, a Todd Bates on the recruiting trail? What type of pedigree? Because we talk about that, but someone that's out there in the battlefields, so to speak. I mean, what is sort of the buzzwords and the conversation you hear about folks like Brent Venables and Todd Bates, et cetera, et cetera?
There are a few kids that I knew last year from down here in Dixie that they were both recruiting. Some they got, some they didn't. But regardless of where the young men signed, it was a broken record. Bates was just somebody who was really relatable. Everybody likes him. He's as good a D-line recruiter as there is in the country. Done. As far as Venables, he's a crazy dude on the sidelines. They're always pulling on his pants to keep him off the field. I always worried about him being a head coach, flat out. I was concerned. But every kid I talked to said he's a down-to-earth, chill guy when he's not out coaching. Completely different. I didn't know that. And I dug into that some because I was just curious because, the Clemson defenses, again, were really fun to watch. But being a head coach is totally different, especially at a school like Oklahoma, which has as good a tradition as any in college football history. and he's adapted very well. So I would be very surprised if they don't continue to, you know, especially as they get better, it's easier to recruit when you win more. That's not a news flash. I think that Oklahoma will start to get more kids that aren't just from the South, but they'll start getting some 4- and 5-star kids from down here too. So it's personalities, man. Kids pick schools because of the coaches. I know alumni and diehard fans don't want to hear that. They don't pick the logo. They pick the guy wearing the logo. And those two guys, among others on that staff, they're going to win a lot of those battles. So Oklahoma will be the beneficiary for guys like Bates and everybody on that staff working hard and all the ties they have to Dixie.
So just kind of looking from afar, you know, we didn't really prep this question, but what did you make of Brent Venables' first year in Norman, you know, as both a recruiter and as a head coach on the sideline?
Well, I mean, they were got awful early, and by the end of the year, they were a pretty well-oiled machine, which, you know, like going from 49 to nothing to a team at the end of the year that was competitive with anybody, obviously he adjusted. There's always the question, can a guy be a head coach? There's no way to know until you're in the pressure cooker, especially a school like Oklahoma, once again. So I think he adjusted well. The injury bug, I mean, they had some walk-ons of different guys, you know, from what I was told, playing more than they should be on special teams. I don't follow Oklahoma close enough to know the whole injury situation and all that, but they battled, and they weren't traditional Oklahoma, as I'm sure you two could probably tell me 10 times more than I, and you probably don't want to talk about that. But that's not going to last long, because what I just talked about with recruiting. So he did a good job on the recruiting trail at the end, though, getting guys like Peyton Bowen, et cetera. I mean, Bowen's going to walk in and either start or be like, you know, first guy off the bench of the DBs. They're going to be fine. That was the bigger thing. Look, he can coach his butt off, but at some point when you play certain schools, it doesn't matter if I'm the head coach and I'm not qualified, I can assure you, but if my guy's three times better than yours, you're screwed. And they just ran into some of those situations last year. So the most important thing he did was recruiting and his whole, again, his whole staff to get some of the kids they did after the season they had. I wouldn't have believed you. So he's a hell of a recruiter too. Well, you already knew he could coach, especially defense. I was impressed with that and how they organized everything and they found fits for what they do. The transition, I think, will be a little bit shorter than I originally thought, because I honestly thought this was about a 4-year rebuild because they had so many kids injured and they lost some kids. They didn't have as many defensive players they needed for a long time. We all know that. And he's a defensive-minded coach. I was really worried. But they changed things pretty quick, and, of course, the portal has changed my perspective on everything. So that's going to be a program, not necessarily this year, but I think starting in 24, they can be a top-10 team if they get the right quarterback.
So, again, a little bit off script here, but because you mentioned Peyton Bowen, who Sooner fans are very, very excited about, PJ Adebare would be in that billing as well in this previous signing class for Oklahoma that fans. What do you know about those two, and what should Sooner fans be expecting?
I know Peyton extremely well. I saw him at a practice at high school. I saw him at multiple Under Armour events, etc. He's an off-the-charts intellectual kid in terms of his ability to not only work in the classroom, but he can be the guy that can lead your defense at the back end. He's also a guy that could end up working on Wall Street, if to kind of put it in perspective. He's a little different, and he's still faster than hell and all that, and that's great. But at safety in today's world, if you don't have the right guys organizing everything, you're getting smoked, especially with Venables' defense, because it is not a funsy one to learn. It's not. So you need somebody like Peyton Bowen. As far as any D lineman, the young man you mentioned in particular, anybody good's going to come in and play if he can pick up the playbook at all. Even if it's just 3rd and 8, you know, it'll kill Venables if this happens. But if all he can really do is just see ball, kill ball, they still got to play him. Venables wants guys to know the playbook. He's that guy, but they can't. There's no way that kid can't play. Venables may have to – when he was at Clemson and he had a gazillion D linemen, that kid may have sit in the back. Oklahoma's not in that position right now. I think he will play very, very early. And, again, if it's to see ball, kill ball first year, so be it. Playbooks for a lot of kids is very complex. So by year two, he's a guy that can compete at for any school in the country, and he's going to get a lot of sacks for the Sooners.
And I think that was probably – very much of what Jaron Kanick's role was this past year in 2022, a guy that was, you know, going to go to Clemson ended up at Oklahoma. We saw him a little bit in different, packages, saw him, briefly in some games, but Brent Venables came out and said he didn't really know what he's doing yet. And that could have just been one of those situations, like, just get on the field, go get the ball, worry about everything else later. It could be very much the same for PJ Adebare as he, makes his entrance into the Oklahoma Sooners. We're going to start turning the page, looking at the 2024 class with our buddy here, Brian Smith. First, y'all, I want to talk to you about Bird Dogs. If you haven't checked out Bird Dogs yet, I highly recommend them. These are fantastic shorts, fantastic athletic wear. So I had a soccer game with my daughter Monday night. We got like 2 hours with no rain out here in Eastern Oklahoma. And if you're aware of all the weather we've gotten over the last week, them 2 hours were priceless. Got to get in this soccer game, our second to the last of the year. I'm looking for clothes to put on. I got my long sleeve shirt on because that's what we wear. That's what I got for my team, the Pixies. But I'm looking for my shorts and I can't find my shorts anywhere. And my wife pulls in on my Bird Dogs package and says, "You got a package." I put those shorts on immediately and they felt so good to be out there in the humidity, in the heat, where it was all my girls were sweating like crazy. My upper body was hot, but my lower body was cool. So go check out Bird Dogs, birddogs.com/LockedOnCollege. Again, like I mentioned earlier in the show, if you use that promo code LockedOnCollege, not only will you get fantastic clothing to wear to keep you cool all summer long, but you'll get a fantastic tumbler too, with a really cool like little feature on it. The little slide part on your tumbler, it's magnetic. So like you can pop it off, you can clean all of the top of your tumbler, not just the parts you can reach, and then pop it right back on. And it works like a charm. A fantastic tumbler. It keeps your drinks very cold, which you're going to need this summer. Going to get hot in Oklahoma. Birddogs.com/LockedOnCollege. Use promo code LockedOnCollege to get that free tumbler, but also some fantastic athletic wear. Brian, looking at the 2024 class, Oklahoma is in the running for a lot of big names. The one that everybody's got their eye on is kind of the white whale, so to speak. It's that interior defensive line dude, and that's David Stone. Let's talk about him off the jump, because I think this is the one that Oklahoma fans are the most vested in this cycle, being that he is a Oklahoma City kid that transferred to IMG, but somebody that even like Gerald McCoy, Oklahoma Sooners legend, is actively recruiting, at least on the social media front. So tell us what you think about David Stone, where the Sooners stand in this commitment, just all of it, your thoughts.
I know David very well. I've seen him because I live pretty close to IMG, and I've seen him at different events. And he's a great kid to be around, for one. He's a lot of fun because he lets it rip. He's not real shy, especially off camera. I'll leave some of that alone. But as far as the player part, before I jump right into recruiting, there aren't many 290-pound guys that can move like a linebacker. That's the first thing you need to know. And I said that in a literal sense. He's also a guy that when he's motivated and he's ready to roll, we were at a 5-on-5 padded camp recently. And I even told him, I said, "Man, you need to play a little harder. You're just kind of going through the motions." He went out and he just murdered this kid. He knew he was better than the guys and he wasn't going 100%. And then he locked in and just embarrassed a couple of kids. His athleticism stands out, but he's got technique. He's got long arms and his hip power is ridiculous. So he's, in my opinion, the best interior pass rusher in this class nationally. Now, corner and DN, they're always talked about twitchy and this and that. Usually D tackles, anything you get from a pass rusher is a bonus. It's the white whale, like you said, because they're just, it's really hard to pass rush from the interior. He's going to draw double teams. He's going to, like, if you get other kids that are good edge rushers, which I guarantee you Bates and Venables will, who are you going to double? I mean, he can change your program. As far as recruiting, he's also one of those kids. His recruitment is all over the map. I remember him telling me to my face, like, Washington, Miami. It's literally, those two schools are the farthest apart of any Division I schools. So he's very hard to follow. But the three or four schools that I think are most likely, Miami, Michigan State, and Oklahoma, would be those three. He was recently at Miami a couple of days ago or whatever. He's been there like three or four times, but it's 3 hours away from where he's at now. But OU, he's been to 20. He lives like 30 to 50 minutes away, like his true home. And OU is always home for him. So if I had to pick where he's going to land, it would still be Oklahoma. I think now Miami is the biggest rival to that. but they really need defensive tackles desperately in Miami. So I'm not surprised by it, but if he doesn't pick Oklahoma, I would be surprised in the end for his final pick.
Speaking of defensive tackles at IMG Academy, this is again another off script question, but because you're so familiar with the program, I got to ask you about Jaden Jackson. He's kind of an underrated dude because he's just getting that 3-star, but I also love him. And I put on Twitter earlier today, I said, my 2024 recruiting wish list, Jaden Jackson. Now I know he included the Sooners in his top five or top six. What do you like about him and what's his recruitment looking like right now?
I talked to him about a month ago when I was at IMG for the Polynesian Bowl. They were doing their tryouts for some of the guys, and he can go play whatever bowl game that he wants anyway. His offer list is ridiculous. To put it in perspective, despite having Ohio State and Oklahoma and Miami and all those schools, he went out because some of the trainers were there to get in extra work. This is a guy at IMG. They do it every single day, and he's going out there. So he has the right attitude. He's also a guy that has technique, and he's a 290-pound guy that looks like he's been in the weight room every day. Like, he's done everything right. His ranking is garbage if it's a 3-star by any network. And he eats up guys in practice that are going to go play Power 5. IMG's the best talent in the country, and it's not debatable. It's just not. So it's funny that you mention, like, you like him a lot because I'm the same way. I took a couple of video clips of him going against some kids that are pretty good players, not good as him, but in like a half a second, he's already got his shoulder by because he has a plethora of moves. When you're that strong, when you're that fast, when you're that motivated and you have technique, you're going to play. So, you know, he's an Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, wherever he wants to go kind of kid. If they got him to go with Stone, Toledo. So Stone's been recruiting him some to go play with him wherever he goes. I mean, that would, whatever school got the, I mean, I think I could be the interior D-line coach then. I'd be good. So he's a hell of a kid, though. Great young man. So good luck to him wherever he ends up.
Cycling back just to David Stone, one more question there. He strikes me, don't know David Stone personally, know him from social media posts, which that's not a way to get to know somebody, but he does strike me as someone that is just flat out enjoying the recruiting process to some degree. I mean, does he have that sort of personality about him? And then how big is that draw back home, as you say, to Oklahoma? Is that going to be the type of draw that we think it's going to be for OU? How strong do you think that pull is in this recruitment?
He is absolutely enjoying the process, but he's also getting wore out with it. At some point, it's going to wear thin. I even told him, I'm like, look, I don't want to interview you any more than you want me to interview you, but it's my job and it's everybody's job because 5-star D linemen sell and they get clicks. That's just the way it is. He's over it. And this was like a month ago. It was only April then. So he's got a long way to go. So that's two things. Number one, I think he'll commit to God knows which school this summer, but it'll mean nothing. And I think he'll basically shut down media. And number two, his real announcement will be signing day. I know Oklahoma fans don't want to hear that, but I will bet my bottom dollar on it. You're not going to stop recruiting no matter who you are. And he enjoys the process, and he has a lot of friends on the staffs that he has open relationships with, Michigan State, whatever. He's going to take calls. As for your second part about Oklahoma, it is. I mean, I've talked to him about it on the record, off the record. He's proud that he's from the state of Oklahoma. He's cool with it. And if I had to pick, he'd be a Sooner. I think it's just a matter of them continuing to do their due diligence. Bates is a great recruiter. They have a defensive head coach. They've got tradition at the school at D-line, et cetera. You know, I remember McCoy. I used to interview McCoy a long time ago. He's a great guy. They have all the advantages, and why would you bet against them? You know what I mean? Like, what would the sound logic and reasoning even remotely be? So, again, my pick in the end is for Stone to end up a Sooner.
Yeah, it's one of those recruitments that Oklahoma fans are cautiously optimistic about because it does seem like the obvious direction, but because it's recruiting, you never can tell. And what seems obvious isn't always the case. There's so many factors that play into it that you know, you talked about relationships. Those things matter, and the coaching staffs matter. And, you know, Mel Tucker, he's a great recruiter as well. Mario Cristobal, he's a fantastic recruiter as well. So those schools, they have draws to them. And, you know, maybe they don't have the, you know, as much recent success as Oklahoma over the last decade. But I mean, you talk about a school like Miami, they've got a lot of history down there as well that they can draw from to draw kids in. Another defensive line prospect we want to talk about with you is five-star guy, Williams Winery. And this is another kid that, again, Oklahoma Sooner fans are really waiting with bated breath to see what's going to happen in this recruitment. What have you seen from him? Just tell us about the player individually, what you like about him, and really kind of his trajectory on the recruiting trail.
Number one, anytime you can get a condor to play defensive end, it's good. And what I mean by that is length. He is the prototypical guy that you see the ESPN crew on, you know, draft day. Oh, his wingspan, this. He's that guy. He's eventually going to be somebody Kuiper and those guys talk about. You can't teach the natural, you know, just tangible things. He's also somebody that has the speed to chase down a running back from behind despite being 6'5", 250. Also very good sign. He's a national top 10 kid. He's just as good as Stone for anybody that's like an Oklahoma person that may not know about him. He's from the Kansas City area. He has an offer list that is through the roof. It probably has 50 offers. Yeah, I don't really care to count them. But his visit list is unique. Like OU, I believe, is this summer in four of his visits. I want to say Tennessee and Oklahoma and a few others. But then he has the thing that bothers me if you're looking for something, and this is just from studying recruiting since the early 90s. He has Oregon as his one visit that's not during the summer, and it's for a game day visit in the fall. That would be the school I would worry about. Oregon is an attractive school. I live in Florida. Kids even down here like Oregon. You can love them, hate them, whatever. Kids just love the uniforms and all that. Some people get it, some don't. But that's just it is what it is. Every kid I talk to likes wants to visit Oregon. It's just true. That would be the school I would be most concerned with, because the other teams on his list are the kind of the usual suspects for Missouri. I just think Oregon's the one to watch. Oklahoma's always recruited that state well. And again, Bates, Venables. Not going to bet against them very often for a defensive lineman. That being said, I think it's going to be very interesting because he could be the game changer. If you get him in Stone, I mean, that you couldn't do any better than that. That's a possible top five class kind of start. And that's if you're going to beat Georgia, if you're going to beat Alabama, and those are the only two schools that count in college football right now. Nobody wants to hear it, but it's true. Those two have separated. That's what you have to do. You have to get those kind of guys, because if you don't get them, they will. So I'd rather play with them than against them.
Well, I guess sticking with the defensive line theme here, Zadavian Sims, kid out of the state of Oklahoma. This is an in-state product. You know, you look across the board, four-star most places, I think, maybe on three, or somebody has him listed as a three-star kid. What do you know about Zadavian Sims' commitment coming up this weekend, I believe? He's scheduled for May 20th unless something changes. So what do you know about Zadavian Sims? What are the Sooners' chances here?
This is one of the weirdest recruitments in the history of recruitments. Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Michigan State, TCU, and Oregon. Those do not have a lot of common themes together. TCU and Oklahoma a little bit. I've followed recruiting in some capacity since the early 90s. That is a weird group. So that leads me to two things. Number one, he's his own man. If he picks Vanderbilt this weekend, don't be shocked. I'm sure Oklahoma fans will kill him if he does that. You know, on Twitter, don't do that. Don't be that fan. Parents, remember that stuff. It matters. You can complain all you want. Don't do it. But that being stated, that is the weirdest list I've ever seen. How the hell do you make a prediction on that? Even if he walked up to me right now and said, Brian, I'm going to school X, I wouldn't believe it, because that list is just so bizarre. There's no way to use any precedent with it. That being stated, Oklahoma cannot lose a kid like him at D tackle, a position of great need. Except with Stone being listed at IMG, I know he's from Oklahoma. This is like the best player in Oklahoma, quite possibly this year. You can't lose that kid to if he lost him to Vanderbilt. I can't even imagine that. How bizarre would that be? I mean, seriously. Can you imagine reading that in the Oklahoma City newspaper or something? Like, what?
I thought the exact same thing when I wrote that article for Sooners, where I'm like, Vanderbilt? Where did Vanderbilt come from? But okay, all right. We get the Commodores involved a little. That's all right. A little love. I mean,
Clark Lee's a great defensive mind, but it's still Vanderbilt. They're never going to do anything, but whatever. He's 6'3", 275. He can play three tech. You could put him at the one. He's athletic. He's, you know, he's all the things you're looking for, and he's freaking from Oklahoma, man. This is what, when I was growing up, there was zero chance they weren't getting that kid. Zero. Oklahoma to be good again, that needs to be zero again. This is a litmus test recruitment. I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's just how it works today. So in Oklahoma, I mean, I watched them play a number of times last year. It's not like they're rolling out NFL draft picks at D tackle right now. You know, that's a deal. You know, they gotta close on these kind of kids. So if Bates and the staff can't get him, it's going to be quite disappointing. Again, if he goes to Vanderbilt, I have no comment.
And then I guess last but not least, we talked recently about the 2025. This is, believe it or not, the 2025 commit of Kevin Sperry came in before I think Oklahoma had anybody committed in the 2024 class. What do you know about Kevin Sperry, and what should Sooner fans expect there?
He is playing in the Metroplex, and he's going against real competition. Dallas is as good a high school area as there is in the country. I'm sure most OU fans know that. He has the ability to escape, to use his legs to not only get a few yards, but he can score from 50. So there's a kid that played at OU a few years ago that's in the NFL. Two of them, actually, that really kind of fit that. They were great passers in the Heisman race and all that stuff. This is another kid like that. But he's also more accurate and more consistent with his passing at this stage than a lot of kids coming out as seniors. I've only seen sophomore film because that's all there is. He's got 2 years of high school left. It's bizarre that he's able to do the things that he does and just, like, completely contorted. Like, Bill Walsh would roll over in his grave if he watched his film, because it does, you know, he wants everything precision the same every time. Sperry is not that guy. He is going to do off the cuff, outside the pocket, and make plays that you can't teach. So you're going to have to live with a few mistakes, but he's a highlight reel waiting to happen. And again, he's doing it in Dallas. He's not doing it against a bunch of cream puffs. So I'm pretty excited about him. And I'm curious to see what he does in terms of physical maturity. Like, he's got 2 years of high school. He's 190, 195 or something as a sophomore. If he could come into OU at like 205, 210 with those and keep that speed and that athleticism, this is a guy that can really help you grow your program long term. Obviously, they just got a great quarterback at OU in this last class. But at least every other year, you got to get somebody like that. Every other year. You know, Jackson Arnold's only going to play for so long at OU, then you got the next guy. Looks like Sperry to me could be that player.
Yeah, the Oklahoma, you know, quarterback room is looking really, really good over the next few years with, you know, Dylan Gabriel for 2022, Jackson Arnold coming after him. We got the commitment in the 2024 class with Michael Hawkins, and then Kevin Sperry for 2025. They look pretty well loaded at the position as they move into the SEC after the 2023 season. Brian, it's been a pleasure getting to know you, getting to hear from you on the recruiting trail. Y'all make sure you go follow Brian on Twitter at FBScout_Florida. You can also read more of his work over at allhurricanes.si.com/college/Miami. We'll give a shout out to All Sooners. We got like John Hoover and Ryan Chapman and the guys over there at All Sooners too. They're friends of the show as well. We like those guys. So go check out their work over at All Sooners on recruiting stuff as well. And you can also hear Josh 94.7. Monday through Friday from 9 to noon. You can read my work at SoonersWire.com. Again, follow Brian on Twitter at FBScout_Florida. Until next time, he's Brian, he's Josh, I'm John. We'll catch you then. Boomer Sooner!